Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Hook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Locked and loaded for hashtag Prediction Thursday on Patriots.com radio and in the Patriots playbook. I'm John Rook, so here we go, kids. Mark Potash, or Potash, how do you think he pronounces that? I've been playing with that one all day.
You're a Potash, I'm a Potash.
Yeah, I know. Anyway.
Everyone's a Potash.
He covers the Bears for the Chicago Sun-Times, and he will join us in 35 minutes. The guru himself, Russell S. Baxter, joins us at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. And then John Mullen, who covers the Bears for Comcast Sportsnet Chicago, he will join us in the 3 o'clock hour as well to get more on the Bears. So we are loaded for bear meat here today inside the Patriot Playbook. Now, as you know, this being Thursday, it's time for your picks. Through 7 weeks, we have yet to have anybody nail the score, although we did have somebody within miss it by 1 point last week. I believe, with the victory by the Patriots at, what the hell was the score again?
27-25.
Thank you. It was 27-25. Somebody predicted 27-24. That's what I was fixated on. All of a sudden, I forgot the Jets scored the weird number. It was 27-25. Somebody predicted 27-24 Patriots and missed by a point and tried to plead their way to the yearbook. And I said, nope, not going to happen. That would harm the integrity of the game, would it not? Of course it would. Of course it would. You've got to nail it. Got to nail it. No misses, close only counts, and horseshoes, hand grenades, and nuclear weapons. Close is fine, but anything else, you got to hit it dead on. That's all I'm saying. So you get your score in, hashtag Prediction Thursday, and if you do get the correct score, then you will win the 2014 Media Guide / Yearbook. So that's as close as we've come this year in the previous 7 weeks, by 1 point. Did not quite get there. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. And if you're listening to us live, that's a good way to get it through, and we'll recognize all of them. Obviously, you can call in your prediction at 855-PATS-500. Toll free, it's 855-PATS-500. The preferred method of sending us your score is Twitter. And the reason I say that is because I've got a definitive record of what you send in via Twitter. And if you're listening to this on podcast and you send it in via email, there's a good chance nobody's going to see it. And so if these scores get deleted between now and next Tuesday, well, you know, what can I tell you? So at any rate, that's the preferred method. It's not the only method, but the preferred method, at JR Broadcaster, is the Twitter address. So follow me on Twitter, at JR Broadcaster, send in your score. Or you can do it on Facebook. You want to be a Facebook friend? Go ahead. Send the friend request. John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E, is the spelling of the last name. And as we tell you at the start of every program, if you're not yet a friend, you can submit the request. We'll answer that. Then you can post, and you can use the chat function during our shows. We even get in a little conversation in between shows. Whatever the case may be, we keep it nice, we keep it friendly, we keep it light. We share a lot of different things, and you can go that route. It's up to you. It's your choice. I give you the power. That's all I'm saying. So those are the different ways you get in contact with us here on the program. Now, Bears at 3-4. Patriots, obviously, 5-2. Chicago has a couple of pretty good wins, a couple of inexplicable losses. I'm having a hard time with the tongue today. Must have been the tacos for lunch. Their win at San Francisco was a very good one. Their win at the Jets was a very good one as well. They got pounded at home by the Packers. They won on the road at Atlanta. This team is 3-4 overall, but they're 3-1 on the road. And that's the one thing that I think we all need to realize here. This team is not afraid of going on the road. This team really doesn't differentiate between here or playing at Chicago State. They don't Soldier Field. They don't. It doesn't matter. I don't know how this team is 0-3 at home. Might be better off if you played them in Chicago. At home, they've lost to Buffalo. They've lost to Green Bay, and they lost last week to Miami. And they lost by 13 points, 27-14, last week. I'm as we were talking about with the PFW guys, I'm kind of siding with Andy here, only I still want to see a little bit more of it's very clear that we're looking at a little bit better production offensively. I just would like to see it continue. I'd like to see a little bit more. I'd like to be convinced that this offense can carry this team until the healthy bodies return on defense or until they figure out the defense one or the other. And maybe it's nothing more, simplistic than I just want to continue to see continuity in the offensive line. To me, that's the major key right now. We're getting the weapons back together. Yes, I know Stephen Ridley's gone, but I, as I've said on this program, especially earlier this week, I think running back by committee is going to be okay with this team because they've got three guys that can give you three different things, three different looks, three different needs, depending upon the opponent, the situation, what have you. It's not ideal, but it is what I would call an overcomable problem. So that's really not at the top of the worry list right now. I want to see more continuity in the offensive line. I want to see Brian Stork, who's been back at practice this week, Dan Connolly, who's been back at practice this week, a little extra flexibility and depth with Cameron Fleming, who's been back at practice this week. I want to see these guys, again, get into the rotation, and then once they get it figured out, stay with that set. And let's see them develop some teamwork, some continuity, some chemistry. And if we can see this Patriot team hold on to the football for, let's try 25 to 30 minutes. Because at time of possession, they're getting murdered on. They certainly did last week. I'd start with 25 to 28 right now. Half of a game, that would be incredible. If we could get half of a game from the Patriots offense, then I don't think the Patriots lose. I think they'd have a hard time stubbing their toe if they protect the ball and they turn the other team over. That's why they're right now tied for the NFL lead in takeaways. It's a huge reason why they've got five wins to their credit right now, and I think we all know this, stuff that we've discussed thus far. But I need to see a little more of that continuity. I need to be convinced a little further that this team can outscore the opposition and be happy with that and be good with that and win games with that, kind of like what we've seen in the last couple of years until the defense, returns at least, one key member, if not two, but one key member of their of the defensive line, and that being Chandler Jones. Whether that's, a month away or not, nobody said yet. He hasn't been in practice this week. And there's been no definitive word on how long he'll be out. That's what concerns me the most. I want to see, Akeem Ayers and, what kind of rotation he gets into. Is he put in on passing downs to begin with until he really learns the scheme, learns the defense? I want to see if he can have an effect. Maybe they just say on third down, hey, go get six back there, six being the number of Jay Cutler. Go get him. That's your job. Go get him. So there's just still too much that's out there right now for me to be lock, stock, and barrel on the side of the Patriots. Now, just so you know, clearly there's another point of view. And from the Chicago point of view, and if we got Bears fans listening today, great. Welcome to the program. Love to have your input. But there are certainly members of the Chicago media that feel like this is the Bears' opportunity. Their backs are to the wall. They're 3-4. They're two games behind the Packers and the Lions in the division. They can't fall three back and have a shot at either A, the division, or B, a wild card. Especially when you got two teams that are ahead of you. And I think most Chicago fans felt like this was a playoff potential team without a doubt. And because of that, and because of their penchant for playing well on the road, they're 3-1. They've got all three of their wins on the road this year. It should make you a little bit concerned looking at it from the Patriots' perspective. Rick Morrissey, who's a columnist for the Sun-Times, he even went so far as to predict in the paper today, 24-21 Bears. Whether you agree with that or not, that's up to you. I'm just saying that it's not exactly unanimous. I always like to bring in an outside opinion or two, and we'll get a little bit more opinion from Mark Potash from the Sun-Times and John Mullen from CSN Chicago coming up later here in the playbook today. In the meantime, climb aboard on hashtag Prediction Thursday. What do you think that the game will break down? See, here's a couple of things that I'm looking at. Number one, the Bears are potent on offense, or at least they have, I don't know if I want to say potent. How about potential? They have potential in offense. Matt Forte, in his combined yards, he's third in the NFL. They've got two big, strong, tough receivers in Jeffrey and obviously in Brandon Marshall. They have a tight end who's capable of a big game and capable of doing damage over the middle in Martellus Bennett. They've got the weapons that I think you need on offense, and I think there's an opportunity for them, you know, to abuse the Patriots defensively. The X factor in all of this is whether or not they take care of the football. That's how you get to the Bears. You turn them over. You must turn them over. If you don't, the Bears can win the football game. Pretty easy. The Chicago Bears are actually a little ahead of the Patriots in total offense in the NFL. In passing offense, Jay Cutler and the Bears are 10th in the league overall. Patriots, conversely, are 15th. Scoring offense, the Patriots are in the top 10. They're 7th in the league in scoring. The Bears are well behind, but that's because of the turnovers. And largely, the Patriots are 7th because defense forcing turnovers, giving them short fields. Defensively, the Patriots, believe it or not, as maligned as they may have been, and as we have talked about this week with the injuries, Patriots are a little better off defensively than the Bears right now. 12th in total defense, 17th for the Bears. The Bears are considerably better in rushing defense than New England. They're 14th, Patriots are 24th, but passing defense, while the Patriots, as we know, have been ranked at or near the top of the entire NFL in passing yardage allowed this entire season. And right now, guess what, kids? They're first. They're only giving up 208 yards a game in passing offense. It may be a little bit of a misnomer because of the rushing that people have done against them, considering some of the running backs that the Patriots have faced. The Bears are only 19th in passing defense. So there's an opportunity. Patriots are plus 9 in the turnover ratio. Bears are minus 1. That's where you have to make your hay. Patriots are going to win this game, and if some of you believe they're going to win it going away, they'll do it by throwing the football, most likely, and turning the Bears over. Is there enough there for that to happen? It's kind of what I'm going with. Like to know what you'd going with today. 855-PATS-500, the toll-free number, webradio at patriots.com. At JR Broadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook for Prediction Thursday. Wow. Good timing. Really, really good timing. Computer screen is freezing up again. Solid. So hopefully here, if we can get this thing working, we can actually, you know, do some social media and some phone. Why is it that they choose to do the servers or something every time at the beginning of the show?
Servers. I just think the computer gets overloaded easy.
I've got three things called up. I don't think that's an overload. Either that or,
It's just temperamental.
I'm telling you.
You want me to punch up some phone calls?
Yeah. We got somebody on the phone over there?
Because we got plenty of people on the phone.
Well, I can't see the phone bank because I don't have the call screener in front of me.
So that's head part of the problem. Justin in Virginia.
Okay. Justin in Virginia. You're up first here in the playbook. Hey, Justin.
Hey, what's going on, man? Can you hear me all right?
Got you good.
Yeah, sorry about last time my phone was kind of acting up, but
no worries.
You're doing real good, by the way. As for the Bears, I think Matt Forte is going to get his yard. I think that Brandon Marshall is a good wide receiver, but Revis is Hall of Fame cornerback, so he's going to be a little lost. Martellus Bennett might not even play because he didn't participate in the last training camp, I believe. Kyle Fuller, their top-string cornerback, probably isn't going to play because he didn't participate. Alshon Jeffrey is probably going to get his yards because of the fact that I don't think our second-string cornerback is that good. Well, the whole rotation of it. I don't like the fact they're going from Kyle Arrington to Logan Ryan to da-da-da-da-da-da. I want them to stick with either Dennard or Browner, one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see us winning 32-21, honestly, because I think with these limitations with Jay Cutler's tight end out and Brandon Marshall's going to have his hands full with Revis, he pretty much has Alshon Jeffrey. And I think, listen, they can run on us all they want, and they're probably going to do that great. But if you can't pass, I think passing's more important. You can run on someone all day, but, like, you see the Jets ran on us perfectly. And remember last year against the Broncos ran on us perfectly. But it's not going to win you the game. You need to be able to pass on some level. And I don't trust Jay Cutler. I don't think any Bears fan should trust Jay Cutler.
Well, okay. There are probably some Bears fans that would agree with you in that regard. But I mean, he's what you got. So, you know, and he is capable. The guy's a talented quarterback. He's kind of got one of those scatter shooting type of arms where you're not sure sometimes where the ball's going to go. And I've always thought that Cutler, for lack of a better phrase, and this is probably an inaccurate assessment, but for lack of a better phrase, I've always thought he's just a little gun shy. In other words, I think he feels the rush. And that doesn't mean that I don't think he's a tough character. I think he is. I think he can stand there probably as good as anybody. But it just seems like at the last second,
I think he's sensitive. I think he's sensitive.
Yeah. Okay. I won't disagree with that. For whatever reason, it hurts his accuracy. He has a tendency to kind of pull the trigger a little early, and he can be rushed into turnovers.
Yeah, thank you, John.
Sure. Thanks for the phone call. Is this working now? Oh, yeah, I got it working. Thank you, Justin. How about Michael in Chicago? Michael, you're up next in the playbook.
Hey, what's going on, John?
Hey, Michael.
Hey, I just got a couple quick questions and a prediction, then I'll let you go. About the trade prediction, like, if you think the Patriots are going to go after maybe a Vincent Jackson or Larry Fitzgerald or somebody like that, you think they actually, like, go to Brady and tell Brady, like, hey, which one do you want?
That's been rumored for a long, long time that maybe they might bounce things off of Tom. I don't think they do. I really don't. I'd be surprised, because that would fly right in the face of everything that, you know, Bill Belichick has said from day one. We're going to do what's in the best interest of the football team. You've heard him say that 100,000 times.
Because
of that, I mean, maybe in passing, or maybe if they're discussing things, or maybe he's walking by and he says, hey, coach, you got a minute, and they're talking in the office, and he might, you know, run some things by him, but I don't know that he gives him a choice per se. It might be, well, we're considering doing this or that, love your feedback. I'm sure that there is some exchange of ideas, but I don't think that he necessarily goes in and lobbies for a move to be made.
Yeah, and I don't think the Patriots are going to make a move at any position, a blockbuster, a big bang, until after this game right here. This game right here, I think they're going to use it as a test game to see what they got, and then they're going to make that move.
So you're telling me that Monday or Tuesday they're liable to be busy?
Yeah, I think actually, like, Tuesday or Monday or Tuesday. You're right, but I think they're going to put their cards on the table on Sunday. See what they got in their hands, and if they ain't dealt the cards that they like, they might have to add a king. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. So, from being from Chicago, give me a little of the vibe from Bears fans. What are they saying about this game?
The Bears are optimistic. I mean, I've been hearing this. I don't have the radio station in my car, but I listen to the Mike and Mike every morning, and I hear, you know, they're pretty optimistic. Like they maybe there's a chance to roll up in New England and beat the Patriots. People forget New England is dominant at home. Dominant. I've been watching them for a long time. They are dominant at home. Mm-hmm. Brady doesn't lose at home. He just doesn't. You know, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. We got, you know, a Hall of Fame coach. They're going to put a game plan together to shred that defense. That's how I feel. Bill Belichick is like he just goes in his little lab, like a little dungeon, I see it, and just creates whatever he wants and makes it work.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I think New England's going to blow them out, actually. I think if they don't get the offense going, I think it's going to – Patriots could put up 50 points.
Wow.
This defense.
Really think so? 50?
I think – yeah. I think Tom Brady's playing – is hitting his stride right now with his mid-season stride. He looks good. They're getting their line back together. I think Stark brings a nastiness to that defense. I mean, not to the defense. I mean, O-line. I mean, and I think Conley's going to hold up pretty good. He's going to step up into that pocket, have a clean pocket to step up into, and find people down the field.
Wow. Okay. So give me a score, Michael.
I want to say 50 to 14.
50 to 14.
Yep. I think they're going to release the Kraken on Brandon Marshall, and then they're going to beat up beat up Alshon Jeffery on the other side. And I think McCourty's going to have a big factor in this because Jake Culler does like to air it out, and I think they should use McCourty a little bit more like Seattle uses, Earl Thomas. Let him float around and pick balls off. Cause I remember that one that, who was they playing against? Was it Kansas City where he just flew out of left field and just caught that pass? That was Minnesota.
Minnesota, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, I like to see that a little bit more, too. McCourty been quiet. I think McCourty's got to step up back there.
Yep.
You know?
So, well, that wouldn't be releasing the Kraken, and they'd be releasing a can of whoop-ass.
Oh, yes. I'm telling you like that. You know, and I've seen Revis lock up Brandon Marshall when he was with the Dolphins.
Well, I give Brandon Marshall a lot of credit. I think he's one of the better receivers in the league. I think Jeffery on the other side is probably who gets targeted maybe a little bit more often. I think he could be the real X factor, and I think Bennett healthy is a huge key.
Yeah, Bennett definitely we're soft in the middle like that. We don't have linebackers.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm really worried about them attacking the middle of the field.
The middle of the field. You're spot on with that one, John.
Well,
but
you don't think that they're going to be able to do it if you're picking 50 to 14.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think the 14 points come from Bennett. Honestly.
Okay.
I mean, to be honest with you, Matt Forte. I don't know. I mean, I think they're going to come in trying to stop the run.
Your optimism is feverish. Michael, that's good stuff, buddy. Thank you very, very much for that. Let's go to Dan in Virginia up next in the playbook. Hey, Dan.
G'day, John. Glad to see you got the gremlins sorted out and you're powering through.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, well, just some while, you know, you got to feed the squirrels. So that's all we're doing. We're feeding the squirrels.
Or hit it with a hammer. That always works.
That's it. Hammer works, too.
I've got two questions for you. I think all your concerns are valid. You know, Forte, the middle of the field, a potent tight end. In Bennett, I just want to ask you a couple of questions. Do you think that Forte will be able to do what Ivory did last week? Because I think ultimately, if the Patriots are vulnerable, as we've seen, it's more on the run than on the pass.
Well, that's what scares me, Dan. That's what scares me the most.
Yeah.
Because if he comes in and does what Chris Ivory did last week, then they're going to control the ball, they're going to control the clock, and they're going to pull Jets Part 2 on the Patriots. The thing that makes Forte more of a threat is that he's a better pass catcher than Ivory. So I got to tell you, I mean, the Patriots defensively have to be working on shutting down Matt Forte. There's no two ways about it. Somebody else on that team has to beat New England. And if they're going to worry about trying to, key on Forte, you know, does that free up opportunity elsewhere for, you know, a guy like Bennett, or for, you know, the two big wideouts? I think the Bears have too much for the Patriots to cover, and the Patriots are going to be forced to choose their poison. The only thing that evens this out, Dan, is if they can force Cutler into turnovers, and you've lost your best pass rusher in Chandler Jones.
Yes, that's all true. I'm not so worried about Forte catching the pass. I think the Pats were particularly vulnerable to a power run, but I'm also hoping that this week the defense, with another week removed from Mayo's absence, will have had their communication and the coordination issues sorted out a bit more, but. Yeah, as you said, that's all definitely an issue. But another aspect of the contest that I want to talk about is the coaching. Mark Trestman, from everything I've seen, he's almost like the anti-Rex Ryan. He's, you know, polite. I mean, he's from Canada, of course. He's, seems to be a real nice guy, kind of quietly spoken, not given a lot of bombast or, you know, big pronouncements. He almost is like an intellectual. And those kind of guys seem to be the kind of guys that Belichick eats for breakfast. You know, the nice guys. He always seems to have a real way of beating the nice guy coaches. So I'd be interested in hearing your take on the coaching aspect of this. Also, I think I don't think Trestman does the best job of containing when that if that locker room is going fine, then I think he's okay. But I don't know that he's shown yet that he can really tamp down when things get volatile in there. I don't think he's kind of quite got that ability. So I'd be interested in hearing your reflections on the coaching. And as for a scoring prediction, I'm thinking 21-17 Patriots.
Okay. That's probably about the right range. That's kind of where I'm leaning toward that range. As far as Trestman's concerned, look, I think he comes from the Bill Belichickian mold. I mean, there is some familiarity. These guys have they know each other. So I think he's calculating. I think he knows exactly what it is he wants to do. And I think he takes his time in trying to build, you know, his system and get his type of player in, much like you've seen with Belichick in the past. I'd love to spend a little bit more time looking at it, because when he got the head coaching job, you know, year before what last, I was thinking, what took him so long to you know, actually get a job? I always thought that Mark Trestman the type of guy that would make a good head coach. And, you know, of course, I know the Bears fans are waiting on that. I was one of those ones that thought Lovie Smith kind of got the shaft there. But, hey, for whatever reason, moves get made. Now, you know, if this season goes south on the Bears in a hurry, Trestman's going to find himself on that very same hot seat that, Bears fans put Lovie Smith on a couple years ago when they started out well and they couldn't get over the hump. So same type of thing's going to happen. What the Bears, I think, need to do is they need to, you know, they went out and they got Jared Allen. Here's another guy that, I think should be of concern to the Patriots, especially if you've got some, you know, discrepancies on the offensive line, which have been well documented around here, although he doesn't seem to be the Jared Allen that we've seen play over the last few years. But at the same time, you know that the potential is there. They need playmakers on defense, and they don't have them right now. And I think that invariably could end up being the difference in this game. Now, all things being equal, if neither team turns the ball over, Patriots playing at home, Chicago, you know, they play well on the road, I think this is a real nail-biter. The only way that the Patriots – you know, put any kind of distance between themselves and the Bears, because I do think Trestman is smart enough to figure out a way to win the game and game plan to win the game. And, of course, I think Patriots fans know that Belichick is a game plan, an opponent kind of coach. And I think Trestman is very similar in that regard, at least seems to be from my perspective. And so if neither team is forcing the other, imposing its will on the other team, I can definitely see a one-possession game going right down to the end.
Great. Thanks,
John. Dan, thank you for the phone call. Let's go to Brian in Atlanta. Brian, you're up next in the playbook.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Brian.
I think that the Patriots are definitely going to win this. Yes, mainly because the Bears are too volatile. No matter what they have, no matter what they do, you know, all it takes is a small thing to get it. I think if you think back a few years ago when they did the little documentary on Belichick and they showed him playing the Broncos, and when Belichick brought in everybody on doing the small thing, which is congratulating everybody after a play, and then after like the third or fourth time, even when the Broncos thought they were winning, it tore the team apart, because even though they're, you know, getting down the field, the Patriots are happy they made a stop. Mm-hmm. I feel like the Bears are that sort of thin, and that when Cutler gets flustered, which is possible, even though it'd be a lot more, you know, tough without Jones, that they can still get to him. As far as I think defensively, the Patriots can match up and play man. And like you said, you're going to force Cutler into a lot of bad throws. That's where McCourty can really shine. Martellus Bennett, he gave the Patriots fits like way back when. I think he was a giant. But I think I like Collins covering him, because he does, even though he does make a lot of his plays sort of over the seams or exposing.
Okay, I'm following you. You still there? Brian? Hello, Brian. Looks like Brian's phone line dropped. All right. I appreciate that. We didn't get to get his pick, though. So, Brian, if you still want to make your pick, you can give us a buzz back at 855-PATS-500, and we'll get that in. A couple of things that are working themselves in via Twitter. James says Pats 31, Bears 17. Hashtag prediction Thursday. Pat also says my official score 24-20 Pats. Close game throughout, but the Pats put the game away mid fourth quarter. Chicago scores a late touchdown. I'm kind of leaning that direction, Pat. Got to admit, leaning. Chanel says 34-17 Patriots. Bears defense sucks. Brady will have a good game. Chris says Patriots 27, Bears 20. Hashtag prediction Thursday. Just to give you a bit of an idea. So at JR Broadcaster is the Twitter address. Follow on Twitter. Send your score in there. And especially if you're listening on a podcast after our live program here on Thursday afternoon, best way to get your score noticed and on record is to send the prediction via Twitter, because we have the written record because we don't have access to the email account during the weekend, especially when we're on the air until we get to the post-game show, after the online post-game show after the game on Sunday. So that's the best way to do it. But we still got phone lines for you at 855-PATS-500. Wide open for you, 855-PATS-500. Email webradio@patriots.com if you want to send your prediction in there. And, of course, you can hit me up on Facebook, John.Rook on Facebook. Let's get a timeout in here, Kev, and then Mark Potash from the Chicago Sun-Times will join us on the Bears. We've still got much more to come, including Russell Baxter, our pro football guru, and John Mullen from Comcast Sportsnet Chicago on the Bears coming up in the Playbook.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of Domino's. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Before Jenny met her new nephew Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
Can't get enough Patriots Playbook? Find the show in the audio on demand section of patriots.com. Catch up on live episodes you missed or simply replay your favorite Playbook moments from years past. Get inside the Patriots Playbook with John Rook whenever, wherever. Only on patriots.com and the official Patriots apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad.
Patriots Playbook on hashtag Prediction Thursday continues. Here today, we'll get to Bears coming up in just a little bit. Got to keep your predictions, your cards, and your letters coming. Hashtag Prediction Thursday at JR Broadcaster, the Twitter address, John.Rook on Facebook. Couple have come through as well already. Onique says, John, I think this week the Pats will get the win. Jay Cutler implodes. The Pats force the Bears and Cutler to turn the ball over. He says, Pats 30, Bears 17. Onique, I'll tell you, I think the only way that the score gets to be in that range is exactly what you said, that the Patriots figure out a way to turn Jay Cutler over. I think it'll just be a little bit more difficult to do because you don't have your best pass rusher available for Sunday's game here. Paul says, John, so for hashtag prediction Thursday, I think it's going to be a tough matchup. Bears have plenty of talent around Cutler, Bennett, Forte, Marshall, Jeffrey. Those are exactly the guys that we've mentioned most often here today. But then they also have Cutler. I think they stay with the Pats for a while, but ultimately New England wins it 31-24. All right, Paul, thanks. 31-24. Marcus says, my prediction this week is Pats win 41-21. George on Facebook posts, Patriots 27, Bears 24. It's a little closer to what I'm thinking. George is in Plantation, Florida with that prediction. I'm giving the Bears a little bit more of the benefit of the doubt. But quite frankly, I like their ability to play well on the road as they have thus far this year. Hey, you know, keep in mind now, their one loss, their road loss, was at Carolina. And it was a touchdown game. It was 31-24. So because of that, this team's going to be in the game. The only way it's not a game again is if the Patriots figure out a way to turn them over and you've got one of your best disruptors on that side of the ball out. That's all I'm saying. All I'm saying. I just, it's going to be close. Ramon says, for prediction Thursday, I don't believe I will be as close to the result as I was the last time when I said the Pats would beat the Jets 27-24. I missed by one. Yes, you did, Ramon, and I gave you full credit for that as we opened up the show today. So what does Ramon think about this week, missing by just 1 point last week? Well, he says, I think the Pats will win because they are playing at home, but the result will depend on the Patriots' secondary. My Pats do not have the pass rush needed to hurry or sack Cutler. As a result, he'll have enough time to throw the football to those immense receivers. It'll be up to our secondary to stop the Bears' offense because even though the Bears can run, the Jets were a much better running team. Patriots' running defense will be better this time around, and if the secondary performs, well, the Patriots will win a high-scoring game. He says 34 Pats, 28 Bears. 34-28. Boy, that's right on the number, too. Six-point spread. That's right on it. All right. Ramon, well, you were really close last week. I think most Patriots fans would probably take the score that you just gave. In fact, I'm pretty sure that that's the case. But let's find out. We'll wait and find out. The email, Howard in Stratford, Connecticut, says it'll be an offensive shootout. I believe that both offenses are superior to the defenses they'll be facing this Sunday. As such, both will move the ball and score points. The question is which D can force field goals instead of touchdowns. I think right now the Pats D and BB's ability to scheme to cover up the weaknesses due to injury will be the difference, and my prediction is Pats 35, Bears 23. Pats O scores five touchdowns, while the Pats gives up only D gives up only two touchdowns and three field goals. You know, Howard has, you know, always some pretty sound thinking for, you know, longtime observer, longtime, contributed to, you know, this program as well. I have to tell you, that's, you know, that's not bad. I just don't think it'll be quite that that score prediction. The one thing that, you know, if you can take a positive out of the Jets game from last week, the one thing you can look at in a positive sense is red zone defense by the Patriots and their ability to hold the Jets to field goals instead of touchdowns. Now, that may ultimately flat out win them a game on Sunday. That could be the difference again if they can do that. The only thing we don't know right now is how much of an effect Chandler Jones's absence will have. Not only the Patriots' ability to slow them down, but on Chicago's ability to turn, you know, seven from three. We're only going to find that out when the game is played on Sunday. But that is a concern of mine. Here's Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, John. How you doing, buddy?
Good, man.
I tried to get with you yesterday evening. Yesterday, man, I heard it on the radio, but I couldn't. But I liked your show yesterday. But today, man, I know Allen Branch, and we got that linebacker. They're not gonna be ready to play tomorrow night, Sunday night game. I don't think they do. It surprised me. And I'm thinking about 20-17, maybe.
20. No, so you are gonna stick close then, huh?
I'm gonna stick close, man, because really. They did like Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, they got a running back. They got those three weapons on the outside and Bennett. And what we have is Hightower, Collins. And you don't know who's starting on the line besides Ben. And I don't have no faith in Arrington, Ryan, or Dinner right now. Because, or Patrick Charles when it comes to coverage. Because if you saw the Jets game, yes, they kept them out the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, they was burnt repeatedly. And it's been like that for years. And I don't know why BB can't see that the players he got is not good cover guys. I know you can't cover everybody 100% all the time.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a difference between 1 yard and 7 yards. It's a difference between catching ball 5 yards running three or catching the ball 5 yards running 20. Because you don't have the speed to catch them. And Afron Jeffries, I was hoping we would get him, but we never did. he's turning out to be a real good playmaker.
Mm-hmm.
Working with Mark. Marshall, mm-hmm. and it's a dual threat on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And if Browner can't bump up, you know, see Browner get beat a couple times. That's six, man. That's six.
Okay.
Six. And I just hope we pull it out because, like I said, you know, we're struggling on offense. And on the offense side, I question Josh McDaniel a lot, you know.
I actually think, Eldridge, that his play calling has gotten a little bit better the last couple of weeks. And not coincidentally, this, you know, the offense and Tom Brady have performed better. But I think it's largely because he's allowing them to succeed with some of the plays that he's calling.
I understand it. But, see, the point that I have problems with, like in the Jets game, okay, they're probably afraid of the pass rush. So I guess I'm just guessing. I don't know. But you got Tim and Dobson inactive. But Tim's there, but he's not used. But you keep wanting to go deep to somebody like Edelman who's slow and got no height to jump and no speed. That's, I be scratching my head all the time. You got somebody on the outside, like your show yesterday, Vincent Jackson, whatever, Aubrey, one of the callers. We got somebody. Just use him. Just use him.
Yep.
You know? But the problem is, you know, I don't know if he ain't grabbed the offense, but to me, in preseason, he grabs good enough for Mallett and Garoppolo to be using them and become their number one target. Why not Brady?
Yeah.
You know, you brought him back for a reason. So evidently you saw something in this kid. You know? So give him a shot instead of, you know, going deep to Edelman or going deep to Amendola. It's not going to happen.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. All right, other so you're sticking with 20 to 17, Eldridge?
Yes, sir. I hope it's our way instead of the Bears.
But you think it's going to be 20 to 17 one way or the other?
Yes, sir. I'm going to go with the Patriots.
All right, but you'll take...
I've got to stick my boys.
All right.
But the Bears are scary because they're hungry.
Yeah.
And right now, you know, they're looking at a weak New England team. It's okay.
They're looking at this. You're absolutely correct. They're looking at this as an opportunity. And again, as I said off the top of the show today, they're 3-4. They can't afford to sink any further behind Green Bay and Detroit.
It's okay.
They have. By the way, just I don't know that it matters or not, but they have a bye week next week. Okay, they're off next week before playing the Packers. So this is one of those weeks where you literally think, I think your mindset's got to be, look, let's get after it this week. If we get back to 500, have our week off, then we can go, you know, take on Green Bay, somehow win that one. We're right back in the thick of this thing.
That's what I would be thinking.
Yeah, absolutely.
This right now, I'm hungry. We got to go get them.
Right.
You know, they're weak.
That's exactly correct. I totally agree with that one. Eldridge, you're making sense today. Not that you don't make sense every day, but you're making sense today.
Thanks a lot, John. All right, man, you have a good one.
You too. I love you, buddy. He's a good dude. Oh, and he's a good fan. All right, so he says 20 to 17 either way, but he'll take his Patriots 20 to 17 in that one. Let's see, a couple of others here. Let me see what else I got. Scott sends on Facebook, he says, well, as others have said this week, the only concern, he says, this week is Forte. That's certainly got to be the major concern. It's got to be the major concern, without a doubt. I don't know if it's the only concern. I think sometimes you give a little bit too much credit to the Patriots secondary for being able to lock up, so to speak, and nobody ever really locks anybody up. I think that's sort of a misnomer. You know, you can slow down, I think, another team's elite receivers, but lock somebody up, that means they're not getting anything, and that's not going to happen. I think we all kind of have to realize that. So I'm not sure that I'm a big fan of that particular phrase. And by the way, just before I let it go by us here as we get ready for hour number two, first of all, Mark Potash is going to have to join us after Mark Trestman is done with his presser. He had warned us that he might go a little bit late today. And in that particular instance, he would join us as soon as Coach Trestman is done with his news conference today for the Bears media. So we'll talk to Mark coming up in the second hour in and around Russell and also John Mullen from CSN Chicago. So we'll have a very busy hour number two. So get those cards and letters on your predictions in right now. That might be the best thing to do for you. But before we go on any further, just a quick word about LaFaire Revis this week. You know, there were some reports both in print and in broadcast in these parts that Darrell had been asked to leave practice a couple of days ago. Actually, it was Tuesday, I believe it was. Turn around and go home. because he showed up late. And I believe the accurate assessment overall is that he slept late, and he was told, you know, don't worry about, well, not necessarily to worry about it, but, you know, don't come back. He did come on his own. It's my understanding he did show up at the stadium later to personally apologize to Bill Belichick. And I don't really think there's anything to be made out of this other than protocol was followed. That's all. Protocol is followed. Whether it's Darrelle Revis or whether it's Chris Jones or whether it's Jonas Gray or whether it's, you know, anybody else on the practice squad, if you show up late, you're going to be asked to turn around and go home. And I think that's something the Patriots had to do. Nobody on this team is, and if you're going to follow the character of this football team, nobody on this team, and that includes Tom Brady, nobody on this team is greater than any other. That's something that Belichick and the staff have preached from day one, and it's something that's happened, and it's something they followed, and I think you know that. I know that. We all know that. So for some in the media to get all, you know, bent out of shape over, oh, Darrelle Revis mispractice, and, oh, my goodness, did they have a falling out, and he was asked to go home. And, I mean, if Darrelle Revis wasn't, you know, a shutdown corner, do you think that they would? I mean, come on. You know, that's just talk show BS is all that is. I listened to that until I wanted to puke yesterday, and that actually was on the flagship on 98.5, you know, and Paul Perillo was on that show yesterday, you know, and they're totally making something out of nothing. Really. I mean, you know, trying to get inside the head of the player who, when he was asked by Mike Reese from ESPN Boston, I mean, what happened on your day off? Just a mental health day? And he could have said, Darrelle could have said, yeah, and the issue would have died. But it was almost like he kind of gave, and the point the guys in the talk show were trying to make, he kind of gave, you know, Belichick a little bit of a little twist by saying, you know, that's between me and the coach, and you'll have to ask coach. That's almost like an invitation to say, well, go ask him, when he could have just let it die. And I think, honestly, I try not to read too much between the lines. Sometimes it's really obvious. That was a little bit of an open invitation to go ask Bill Belichick, and, hey, what happened here? And honestly, nothing more than that. That's it. And I think that was an honest answer. You know, I know the PFW guys at the start of their program today, a couple of hours ago now, or at noontime today, Eastern time, we're talking about it. And, you know, Eric had a very poignant comment, I thought, where he said, you know, I'm not so sure Darrelle has been entirely comfortable. And I'm paraphrasing what he said in case you missed, you know, the opening comments today on PFW in progress. But, you know, he's not entirely sure that Revis has been comfortable. And I think two things about that. Number one, keep in mind, gang, this wasn't his first choice of places he wanted to land. The first choice for him, you know, to play again this year was for the Jets. That's been well documented. Now, I'm sure, you know, there are 12 million reasons for him to be happy where he is, number one. And number two, he probably likes the fact the Patriots are 5-2. He probably feels like he made the right choice with the Jets being 1-6. No doubt about that. And he probably also likes the fact that, you know what, if I play well, I'm going to work myself into big money, whether it's with New England or somebody else. I think we're making much ado about nothing. The other key factor that you have to realize is, okay, last year was his comeback year from ACL surgery. And while he was a comeback player of the year, you know, there still was the thought that maybe he wasn't quite all the way back, and we just assumed, and I'm talking about the collective we here, but we just assumed he was going to be the Darrelle Revis of old. And I think that's a misassumption on all of our parts. Your part, my part, media's part, Kevin's part, Belichick's part, Revis's part, everybody's part. That's not a correct assumption. He's still recovering. And there are some guys that never fully recover for major knee reconstructive surgery. Now, granted, it's not like it was 20 or 30 years ago. Guys can recover. Guys can come back. We're seeing that with Rob Gronkowski in particular interest right now. But because of the twisting and the turning and the lateral movement that you really have to make as a defensive back, that does take more time than, say, a Gronk who literally is going north and south on a field, as opposed to, you know, the twisting and turning and the lateral movements, you know, the swivel hips you have to have if you're a defensive back. I think he's been fine. There are some that would argue otherwise, that he's been a disappointment. And I'm sure some of you feel like that as well. I don't know that he's been a disappointment because I'm not sure what we reasonably should have expected from him. That's what I'm saying. Should he be one of the top two or three corners in the league? I think he still is. And I think that's the reasonable expectation we have. I don't think any other explanation, expectation beyond that is really deserved here, other than he can still guard the best receivers and defend the best receivers in the NFL. I think as a Patriots fan, that's what you need to be concerned with. The rest of it is so much cannon fodder. Speaking of cannon fodder, Kevin, do we have somebody on the line?
Good afternoon. My name is Russell, and I am a wilderness explorer in Tribe 54, Sweat Lodge 12. Are you in need of any assistance today, sir?
It's time to go around the NFL with football guru Russell Baxter on Patriots Playbook.
It is time to go around the NFL with the guru, Russell S. Baxter, who joins us on Thursdays. But, Kevin, you're going to have to bring him into the show again because the computer's frozen. Hello, Russell.
I think the other Russell might have done Revis's knee surgery. So.
Dr. Russell. Dr.
All
Russell.
All right. I'm not taking the rap for that. So.
Okay. You don't have to. I won't make you. How are you today?
I'm doing terrific. I'm doing good. I'm excited about this week. We got some old school rivalries. And you know, by the way, the Thursday night games have been pretty decent the last 2 weeks. And I anticipate tonight will be a lot of fun. I don't know how it's going to turn out in terms of, I think there'll be a lot of scoring. Because you got two hot quarterbacks in this game. But I think this will be a fun game. Denver and San Diego played three times last year.
All right, well, let's go ahead. You called it, so let's jump right into it. It is it does seem to have a little bit of swag to it, doesn't it, tonight? I mean, you know, not that the Patriots game last week didn't have that as well, but, you know, it is San Diego, it is Denver. These are two teams that clearly right now are up at or near the top of the AFC, and if the Patriots, you know, pretend to be there as well, there's going to be a lot of interest, and there should be a lot of interest from Patriots fans just about everywhere in this one tonight.
Yeah, and the Patriots still have meetings with these teams later in the year. They get Denver very shortly, as a matter of fact, and then I think later in the year they get San Diego, I think out in San Diego, correct me if I'm wrong. You know, Philip Rivers, Peyton Manning. Manning obviously setting the career record last week for touchdown passes. The Chargers kind of maybe a little stunned. You know, you never know what you're going to get with the AFC West teams. But, you know, the Chargers the last 2 weeks in the division, and this is their third straight divisional game, John, you know, struggled with the Raiders, gave up 28 points, which I think surprised a lot of people. Last week lost at home to Kansas City. You know, very, very interesting. Last year, these teams played each other three times. And again, we mentioned Manning and Rivers. But it might surprise people to know that in three meetings, not one of these teams scored 30 points last year.
Really?
Yeah, no 30-point games. The Broncos, who obviously set the record for scoring last season with 606 points, never broke 30 points against the Chargers in any of their meetings last year.
Well, you know, since, you know, I didn't have the scores handy in front of me, I find that actually quite interesting.
Yeah, well, listen, San Diego played, you know, they played Dean Smith four corners last year, and it worked very effectively against Denver, keeping them off. And then, of course, when the teams got to the playoffs, Denver pulled the same exact thing on San Diego. It's funny how that ball control thing works around the league. You might see a little more of it again tonight, but I just think San Diego's undermanned. I mean, they're down to, and by the way, their fourth string running back's been pretty damn good, Brandon Oliver, undrafted rookie who has added a little spark to their attack. But they're down a bunch of running backs, and they're also a little banged up in the secondary as well. And that is something I think you have to keep an eye on when you're talking about the Broncos and this receiving core that they have. But there's a lot of good wide receivers on the field tonight, John.
Very good ones. Very good ones.
And by the way, two pretty damn good tight ends, too.
Pretty good quarterbacks, too, Russell.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you think about this. Julius Thomas, Antonio Gates. I mean, we're 7 weeks in this season. These guys have combined for 16 touchdown receptions. Mm. 9 by Thomas and 7 by Gates.
Serious weaponry going on over the middle of the field.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I don't know if San Diego's prepared for what they're going to see tonight because I think Emmanuel Sanders brings a little something different to this attack, and I think Ronnie Hillman brings something different to this attack in terms of speed. And I don't know how much of a pass rush the Chargers are going to mount against Peyton Manning. I'm kind of looking at this game as somebody is going to break the 30 points this week.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be Denver. I'm looking at them like 37-21. But this will be a fun game.
Well,
it'll be a 16-point game that might not feel like a 16-point game.
What do you then feel like San Diego has to do to have a shot, really, at winning this one?
Well, I think it's controlling the ball against Denver's defense. But Denver's defense has been dynamite against the run.
Yeah.
And they have 21 sacks, by the way, in six games. And eight by Von Miller leading the league, seven by DeMarcus Ware. So, I mean, there's 15 of the 21 right there. Anybody who thought that DeMarcus Ware was slowing down, slow down. I think he's just fine.
Mm-hmm.
And Miller, I think, has been more concentrating on rushing the passer than doing other things. And he's healthy this year, and he's not distracted this year. And we know what kind of natural talent that he has. So, you know, you combine a pass rush. I mean, Denver's defense has made major strides. It's still early in the year, obviously. But, you know, third against the run, sixth overall in total defense. And, you know, it's funny. And this is not a segue to Seattle and Carolina, but you remember when Seattle and Denver had the Super Bowl rematch back in week three?
Yeah, right.
And Denver lost the game, although they came back from 17-3. Descended into overtime, and then never got the ball back in overtime. And the thing that impressed a lot of people is the style which Denver played in that game, John.
Okay.
And I'm beginning to think now, and I'm switching channels here a little. I'm beginning to think now that game took more out of Seattle Seahawks and bolstered the confidence of the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's entirely, it certainly seems probable, doesn't it, right now?
Well, I mean, listen, you know, now that we heard, you know, what was going on in Seattle with Percy Harvin and you know, his obvious attempt to join the WWE with all the theatrics with his teammates and so on, which, by the way, I still can't understand why he was there as long as he was, if that stuff was going on during the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But he's now a New York Jet. And, again, that's Seattle and Carolina, and maybe we get to them later. That's your call.
Sure.
But as far as tonight, I mean, it'll be fun stuff tonight. I think anytime you see two guys, you know, Phillip Rivers obviously doesn't have the touchdown passes that Peyton Manning has. But here's what people forget about Phillip Rivers. He took over the starting job when they decided not to re-sign Drew Brees, you know, which was an obvious decision. They drafted Brees in 01, and they drafted Rivers in, well, they didn't draft Rivers. They traded for Rivers with the swap with Eli Manning in 04. And, you know, Phillip Rivers became the starting quarterback for the Chargers in 06. I think people forget that he's never missed the start since then.
Really?
Yeah. He's second behind Eli Manning.
In terms of consecutive starts, yeah.
Their starts for quarterback.
Wow. Now that's impressive. That is impressive. Yeah. You did bring up Percy Harvin, so let's start with the Jets in the division. Patriots division mates here. Bills playing at the Jets. Buffalo, you know, is 4-3. They got to go on the road and face a New York team that really has gotten very little to lose at this stage of the game, and to see if they can't work in the aforementioned Percy Harvin into the mix somehow this week, which does, I think, give Patriots fans at least a reason to tune in at some point, perhaps on Sunday afternoon, to watch this thing.
Well, this is a fascinating showdown between the Jets, who ran the ball very effectively against New England the last time we saw them, against a Bills defense that's been stingy against the run all season, the fourth in the league against the run. Last week was the first time this year, I believe, that the Bills, even though they won the game, gave up 100 yards rushing in the game. I mean, that's, you think about the Bills' run defense the previous 5 years, absolutely horrible. Big and now. If you're Kyle Orton and you're Geno Smith, I would bet the over on getting sacked, because both of these teams know how to get after the quarterback.
Right.
And but, I don't know what impact Percy Harvin's going to have in this game. Is it going to be as a kickoff returner? Is it going to be as a runner? Is it actually going to be as a wide receiver? He's kind of I like to call him a Percy of all trades. He's not really a pure wide receiver. He's more like who drafted somebody there a couple years ago, an offensive weapon? He's more like an offensive weapon, okay? Who knows? Maybe he'll have a little deja vu about the last time he played at MetLife Stadium. In any case, the Bills and the Dolphins are kind of hanging around in the AFC East, but I think the Bills will take a little step back here, and I like the Jets.
Yeah, at home. I tend to agree with that one, although I think the Bills certainly have a chance to do it. You mentioned the Dolphins. I'll bring this up because, with all due respect to Tampa, it's, I guess, for the Miami State Championship, playing in Jacksonville, coming off of their one and only win of the season thus far.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. I've written several pieces about professional football in Florida the last couple of years. And it's been pretty dismal if you really think about it.
Really has been. You're absolutely right. Which makes no sense. I realize that, you know, Florida is one of the hotbeds for college football and some of the talent that comes there, but man, it's not trickling to the pros, is it?
No, John, no team, not one of the Florida teams has been in the NFL playoffs since 2008.
That's incredible. And that's incredibly bad.
One of them,
yeah.
Which was Tampa Bay in 2010. When they went 10-6 and missed the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
That's the only time in the last 5 years that any of them's even had a winning season.
Wow.
I mean, I can't explain that. It's just one of those coincidence things. But I've written several pieces that have gotten some chuckles because it seems like every time I do the piece, my title is "You Can't Spell Fail Without FLA."
Ooh. Ba-dum-tsh. Wow.
Get out the drum set, Devin. Come on.
Yes. Yeah, it's there. He got you.
Yeah, but listen, if Miami didn't gain a little confidence from going into Chicago last week, and they haven't won, funny, they're 3-3, but they haven't won two games in a row all year.
Right.
That would be a good time. And Jacksonville, listen, undermanned, but not underhearted, okay? And they came out last week, and I think a lot of people thought, you know, I heard people all week, well, Cleveland's going to be 6-2. Well, really? It's hard to get to 6-2 when you're 3-3. And they went in there and laid a major egg. But I don't want to take that away from what Jacksonville did last week. Denard Robinson is the running back. They ran the ball on Cleveland, and they stopped Cleveland's running game, which is one of the best in the league this year. And Brian Hoyer was miserable, okay? And by the way, just as a side, if he's miserable against another winless team this week at home against the Raiders, we're going to start hearing the you-know-what chants in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I like what Miami's done. Their defense has been pretty solid. Last week, again, they went on the road, and I know Chicago's been horrible at home, and we'll get to the Bears, obviously, later. But, you know, you got to like the direction, even though it's been a little up and down, because of what some of the games that Miami has won this year. And again, early in the year, remember, they stunk up the joint against Kansas City. They looked unprepared in that game. You know, it's been an up-and-down year for a lot of teams. But I was impressed because that game was not even close last week against Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they were in control of that game pretty much so. And, yeah, I got to give credit where credit's due. They don't have no Sean Moreno now for the rest of the year, but Lamar Miller has run very, very hard. And Mike Wallace is making up for a disappointing first year in Miami. He's been pretty good this year. And defensively, they can get after you. And I think, you know, Blake Bortles, who I think, even though they won last week, I still think he threw three interceptions last week.
Yeah, I think he did, yeah.
Yeah, so I think he'll serve up a couple more. And, you know, I know Miami will be exhausted from this long trip to Jacksonville, but they'll pull out a win.
Yeah, I think so. Staying in the AFC for the time being, two teams, one now a contender, the other was a contender and somehow has seen its season, you know, go a little sideways. Ravens at the Bengals Sunday afternoon. This has got to be a bounce back week for the Bengals, does it not?
Well, it's a crucial week for the Bengals because right now, after looking like one of the best teams in the league, and listen, it's defensively. I know people like to jump down Andy Dalton's throat and, you know, they're not winning with him and so on. They got shut out last week. But 43 points, 37 points, 27 points, these aren't the Bengals that we know. Last year they were third overall in total defense. Okay, gave up less than 20 points per game. So what has happened to them defensively? That, to me, is the big issue with Cincinnati. We know they're hurting on offense, but I don't think we expect them to be hurting on defense the way they have. But here's the silver lining for Cincinnati in this game. The game's at home, the Ravens struggle on the road, and they already beat Baltimore and Baltimore this year. So if they can pull off the sweep, you know, I mean, there's still a long way to go, John, But they'll have that in their back pocket for the rest of the year.
Yep, they will.
Yeah,
be right
there. Having, you know, listen, Baltimore might want to have a better record, and they could be 5-3. Or it's a, now Baltimore wins this game, they start, you know, and by the way, they go to Pittsburgh next week. That was the unusual thing about the Ravens' schedule. You know, we talked about Seattle playing 5 of its last 6 games against the division. Baltimore's 5 of their first 8 games are against the division. So these next 2 weeks, they're on the road against 2 divisional foes. They lost to Cincinnati and beat Pittsburgh already. And we'll find out a lot about them the next 2 weeks in terms of they're going to be a team that can win the AFC North.
I
like Cincinnati in this game. I do think they bounce back.
I love how you segue me to the next game, because I was going to talk about the Steelers, especially in light of their win this past Monday night. They've got the Colts, and the Colts look, I've heard them called a complete football team in the NFL. And at 5-2, I don't want to kind of go quite there yet, but at the same time, they've looked pretty impressive the last couple of weeks. So I got to admit, they look to me like they could be emerging as a true contender in the AFC.
Yeah, they are starting to come around. And the thing I like about them is, and we've seen Andrew Luck, by the way, 5 straight 300-yard games, 6 out of 7 this year. And listen, he's not getting the yardage support necessarily from the ground game, okay? They're 12th in the league against the run, which is better than they were last year, by the way. But like I said all the time, those attempts, okay, and listen, the Colts hang on to the ball an awful long time. Trent Richardson doesn't break off big plays, and Ahmad Bradshaw has been one of their best pass catchers. He has like 5 or 6 touchdown receptions, but they have a nice 1-2 punch, and they can keep teams off the field, and their defense has certainly made strides. Again, just like Dallas, well rested, okay? I mean, listen, controlling the football offensively does wonders for your defense. And that's what you see with the Colts. Now, the one thing I'll say about Andrew Luck, and pardon me.
No problem. You need to get a drink?
No, I'm good.
All right.
I'm good. The one thing I'll say about Andrew Luck is there is, because he is asked to do as much as he does, okay? And again, I would say he's kind of a half of a one-man show this year. The last 2 years, he was a one-man show.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll make his mistakes. I mean, last week against Houston, they're up 24-0. He throws a pick. He gets sacked and fumbled, and J.J. Watt, of course, runs the ball back for a touchdown. And 24-0 turns into a 33-28 win.
Mm-hmm.
So he will cough up the football. And sometimes, you know, enable teams to get extra opportunities. But the Steelers are just, I mean, they're like a windshield wiper. Back and forth and back and forth. Win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win. And they just have these lulls offensively that mystify you. And then all of a sudden they score 24 points in about 3 minutes. And change. Well, actually it was 3 touchdowns in 2 minutes and 54 seconds. And they're down 13-0 to the Texans and are being horribly outplayed. And all of a sudden they're up 11
right
at the half.
Right.
So you see, and by the way, Le'Veon Bell is a horse.
Yeah, and we've been talking about, obviously, Matt Forte and his ability, you know, to run and catch as well. But Le'Veon Bell has been every bit as good as Forte's been this year.
Well, Matt Forte's got a real shot. I mean, 7 games, I believe he has 52 catches.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Got a real shot at being only the 3rd running back to ever catch 100 passes. And the record is Larry Centers, 1995 with the Cardinals, 1-1.
Sure. Remember so Larry Centers, yeah.
It's not out of the question that he could make a run at that. But the thing about Le'Veon Bell, you can't help notice it every time he gets the ball as a runner and a receiver. You want to talk about somebody who just watches his blocks unfold and then makes his move? It's really evident when you watch him that he'll take the ball. There's a slight hesitation, not enough for him to get thrown for a loss. But he'll watch blocks unfold. And, you know, they were dead in water the other day. And I think it was on 3rd and 10, he takes a little over-the-middle catch and turns it into 40-something yards, and it woke up the offense.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I got to kind of go with the hot hand here. Until the Steelers win 2 games in a row, I think they're going to remain the windshield wiper.
Yeah, I kind of am leaning that way. The thing that impresses me the most about Indy, and these are 2 of the stories that I think really aren't getting as much play as they might deserve. But it's been the defensive turnarounds. You briefly alluded to the one in Dallas, but the turnaround that Indy has had on defense. Last year, they were, you know, middling to the lower end of the league and giving up yardage per game. They're only giving up 271 yards a game this year, which it's a league low, if I'm not mistaken. So that's like 80 yards better than they gave up defensively last year. I don't know if anybody really realizes, you know, how they've been able to do it with defense just because of Andrew Luck's, you know, spectacular nature on offense.
Well, yeah, and again, the fact that, you know, they in terms of time of possession, I think they're if they're not tops in the league, they got to be pretty close, John.
Yep.
And again, we always talk about rushing attempts because when you look at their running game, you're like, you know, Trent Richardson is Trent Richardson. He's averaging 3.5 yards per game. It's, you know, he's not really wowing anybody, okay? But I think it would surprise people to know that in seven games, they average like something like 31, 32 running plays a game.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Their time of possession, are you ready for this? 36 minutes and 56 seconds.
Wow.
Okay?
Yeah.
And Linda Blair wasn't possessed that long in the Exorcist.
Ba-dum-tsh. I like it. All right, two quick NFC games I want to touch on just because they seem like it could be decent games and a little bit of intrigue before we get back to the Patriots and Bears. One, you mentioned them already, the Seahawks at 3-3. Got to play the 3-3 Panthers on the road. What's the matter with Seattle?
Well, obviously there was a lot. Boy, it's someone knew how to keep a secret.
Well, somebody's figured it out. And that would be the teams they've lost to.
I will say last week, you can say all you want about their defense. And listen, I think the thing that's hurting them on defense is the lack of defensive depth on the defensive line, which, you know, they had a nice little rotation going there. And, you know, I argued with people over the summer, you just can't let guys go like that, okay, and expect the same results. And I'll throw out a name because the two names, the two guys who they cut loose this offseason – were Chris Clemons and Red Bryant. Mm-hmm. And I think more people know about Chris Clemons than Red Bryant. But I'll tell you what Red Bryant was. He was a terrific defensive end when it came to run stopping. Now, last week, I will say this. Their defense didn't play all that bad, but it was their special teams. And I know the obvious is the deception play with Stedman Bailey and the fourth down fake punt that Benny Cunningham turned into a first down. But Benny Cunningham also had a 75-yard kickoff return in that game that set up Seattle's first touchdown, St. Louis's first touchdown. So think, a 90-yard punt return, a 75-yard kickoff, that's 165 yards. Sure. We don't count that in total offense.
Right.
Those are big plays. And, you know, I firmly believe if you watch the way that game was unfolding, that Seattle would have won the game if they managed to get that fumble late in the game, and we'll never know who recovered that.
Right.
You know, I still don't think they've sorted it out. But it just seems like there's something uneven about the Seahawks. Now, that being said, I think there's things even worse with Carolina. Now, keep this in mind. Last year, and by the way, these were the top two defenses in the league last year. Seattle 1, Carolina 2. Okay? They were also the top two teams in the league last year in points allowed, 231 and 241. Now, think about this for a second, and I know we're talking about Seattle's defense
The
last few minutes. John, in the last five games alone, the Carolina Panthers have given up 174 points.
That's not exactly championship football, no.
They gave up 241 all of last season.
Right, right.
37, 38, 24, 37, 38. I know that was one of my locker combos in high school. But think about it, 37 or more.
I can never get the whole left-right thing right.
I know. I got Rocky Dennis to open up my locker.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Hey, it's a great movie, by the way. She should have won the Oscar for that movie.
I agree with you on that one, actually.
She should. She was terrific in Moonstruck, but her best acting, I thought, was in Mask.
Yeah.
She was, I know. Anyway. But think about that for a second, Carolina. Carolina, last year, and I know Greg Hardy's not around, they've given up 37-plus points in four of their last five games. I mean, they looked helpless against Green Bay. They looked helpless against Baltimore. I mean, even the game they beat the Bears, they gave up 24. So I don't know what's wrong. There's obviously a lot wrong going on there as well. And it's funny, this is the third year in a row that Seattle has flown east to play Carolina. And, of course, they've flown. They're Seahawks.
Yeah,
okay?
Right. Of course.
They've beaten Carolina twice. I think they're going to do it again, and I think this is going to be a stinker. But I think the champs get back above 500.
Well, you know, Seattle's in that NFC West with San Francisco, and yet neither one of those teams are in first place. It's the Arizona Cardinals, speaking of flying. They've got to do a little bit of, flying themselves, although it's the Eagles that are going to play in Arizona this week. So, but they're playing an East Coast team anyway. You got two teams.
Maybe my favorite game of the weekend because.
I knew it would be. I knew it would be.
I mean, Philadelphia, you know. Who has had their problems on the offensive line with the injuries.
Yeah.
The last time we saw them 2 weeks ago, it looks like the backups are getting adjusted. And they 203 yards rushing against the Giants and shut out the Giants. It was pretty impressive. And Arizona just kind of keeps rolling along. And kudos to Bruce Arians, who's doing a dynamite job with, you know, short on personnel on defense. We know that from the beginning of the year. And yet, guess what? Number one against the run right now. They were number one against the run last year. And I find that amazing, considering no Dansby, no Washington, no Dockett, no Bell. I mean, they've missed a lot of people that were responsible for that. But Philly, you know, because of Philly has that way of just staying in the game, even the game they lost that last year. And I think they just have maybe a few too many weapons for Arizona. I think this will be an excellent game. These teams played last year in Philadelphia, and it was an excellent game. It's one of the few games. You think about Arizona, who finished 7-2 last year,
mm-hmm.
okay, and now is 5-1. That is, what is that? That's
12-3.
12-3?
Yep.
In their last 15 games?
Yep.
That's pretty impressive.
That's championship-level football right there.
Absolutely. One loss to the Eagles, one loss to the Niners, and one loss to the Broncos. Not exactly, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but pretty. I have a lot of respect for what Bruce Arians has done there because he's. And by the way, I really like what I'm seeing out of Andre Ellington, who's mm-hmm. really becoming up and comer out of the backfield for them. Yet, I think Philly's just better right now, and I think their resourcefulness. And I think they win a fun game, 24-21.
Oh, big one, and that's 2 5-1 teams going at each other, which brings us now to the Bears and the Patriots. Chicago with its 3-1 road record, so I guess they're probably glad to be coming into Gillette this Sunday. But the Patriots have they won 3 in a row? They're coming off of a 10-day break following the Thursday night squeaker with the Jets. The big question for me is whether or not the Patriots can turn over Chicago offense that when you do turn them over, they don't play very well. But when they hold on to the ball and don't shoot themselves in the foot, so to speak, they can be really, really very good. And the Patriots will not have Chandler Jones. So, you know, the Patriots got to figure out a way to turn Cutler over.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the thing about Jay Cutler this year is he's been so erratic. When he shot himself in the foot, he's missed. He has been, you know, you see him brilliant in the final minutes against San Francisco. And then they come home, and, I've seen this with other teams. This happened with the Eagles a couple of years ago, where they couldn't win at home, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's inexplicable sometimes, and I think sometimes we just think automatically because you're going to play at home, you're going to win. But I think there's also more things wrong with the Bears than just Jay Cutler and his erratic play. I mean, I think their defense is better than it was last year, John, but that's not saying a hell of a lot, okay? I mean, they were terrible defensively last season. And they're still not generating, you know, a really consistent pass rush. Willie Young has been a great pickup for them from the Detroit Lions as far as rushing the passer, and I think he's learned a lot from Jared Allen, even though Jared Allen doesn't have the numbers. Yeah, Jared Allen might be the defensive coach of the year, defensive line coach of the year. How's that?
Right.
But still, you got to be concerned about New England's defense. The best thing I can say about the Patriots' last game against the Jets was they won. Okay?
That's all you need. It's all you need. It's not no style points needed.
Nope. They won. Okay? They gave up over 200 yards rushing. Fortunately, they didn't make mistakes. And, you know, the Jets continue to be mystifying in their secondary. I just jumping back on the Jets again, 18 touchdown passes allowed and one interception. It's just mind-boggling to me. But I just don't think the Bears have enough defense to stop New England. And I know Ridley's gone, and we talk about Chandler Jones, who's having a dynamite year. I like him a lot.
Yep.
You know, because he's a run stopper and, well, he's not only a run stopper and a pass rusher, he obviously can block field goals as well.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So, he's a part of that.
But I'm looking New England something like 28-19. Cutler will have his moments. Marshall and Jeffrey will have their moments. Forte will have their moments. But the Patriots will have more moments because they're just a better team, and there's just, I don't know, maybe the Bears can get Brian Urlacher back, although I don't think him and Jay Cutler will be sharing a locker room anytime soon.
Probably not. And Tom Brady's abused Brian Urlacher in the past anyway.
Yes, I still remember that little move.
Yeah, that was the subject of some media laughter this week as well with Tom.
And I'm sure we'll see the flashback on the telecast.
I'm sure we will. Russell, as always, that's outstanding stuff. Thanks, buddy.
You're welcome. I'm going back to my Ranger duties.
There you go. And we'll check in with your Ranger duties again same time next week. Have a good week, my friend.
You have a great weekend, John.
Absolutely. Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com, Bleacher Report, Cold Hard Football Facts. He's all over the place, but he's right here every Thursday in the Patriots Playbook to bring you the very latest. All right, before we catch up with our Chicago Bears media, which Kevin's tracking down as we speak here, let's get back to a couple of other score predictions. Kev tweets this in. He says, Pats 31, Bears 17. Pats offense hits stride. More no huddle. Jamie Collins finally comes to the party. You know, I guess that's an interesting question, whether or not you feel like Jamie Collins is the one that really has to step up in the void of a Gerard Mayo in the middle. See, I've always thought that, you know, it's got to be Hightower's game, but so many seem to think that Collins is the one that might end up having the effect there. Collins' best moves are on end, around the outside. That's where he can be most effective, and he's certainly better than adequate, I think, in coverage. All right, let's get into the Bears a little bit more. John Mullen, who covers the Bears for CSN Chicago, Comcast Sportsnet in Chicago, joined us here in the Playbook. John, thanks for the time today. We appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's
always it's always football season.
It has to be. That's exactly right. Always football 24/7, season.
24/7 all 12.
That's the way. That's the way it is here. That's for sure. All right. So how are the Bears 3-1 on the road and 0-3 at home?
Well, their quarterback throws interceptions at home. That's probably the biggest single thing. Everything this year has pivoted on turnovers for the Bears. They're under Mark Trestman, I believe, I just look back, they're 7-0 when they've got a positive turnover ratio, and they're only, actually they're 8-0, and they're 8-12 over the last 20 games with him. So it's not magical. In fact, comparing New England's quarterback to the Bears quarterback, their passer rating is about the same, but their QBR is so much different because of the impact of the interceptions. There's really no magic to this. If the defense could get more takeaways, but the quarterback has to figure out which color laundry he wants to patronize that day.
I suppose that, you know, and that's kind of what we've been talking about, John, this week. We realize that those numbers that you just sort of quoted there are pretty, they pretty much stand out on their own. You can turn the Bears over, you can beat the Bears, but if the Bears take care of the football, then the Bears are going to be right there, and the Patriots are missing one of their key ingredients, perhaps in disrupting the Bears' offense, in Chandler Jones, who is not going to play this week. So it'd be interesting to see what the Bears might try to do nullify or, you know, maybe perhaps the rest of that of that defense. Seeing that Matt Forte is one of the better runners, certainly a great pass catcher as well, I would think it has to start with him.
Well, it does, and it's interesting over the last two or three years, even before Trestman got here, Jay Cutler has been really adamant, but he's been very clear. As much as the Brandon Marshall connection is big for him, and as you put the Bears put two wide receivers in the Pro Bowl last year, Jay has actually said the offense runs through 22. And I would, again, not a rooting interest here, I would put him as one of the two or three top running backs in the NFL simply because he does everything so well. I mean, this is a 218-pound. He'll stick his nose into the linebacker's chest for pass pro. He's, I believe, kind of a fit in the numbers, but he's on pace to have over 100 receptions. He's had 22 over the last, you know, past couple of games. He is more than a safety valve. He's gotten shiftier as he's gotten older, too, which makes him, you know, they're get him in space, and he's making people miss. Not that he didn't as a younger back, but at 28, he is avoiding hits, and it's keeping him fresher. There's been almost no need to relieve him during games, even though they drafted a kid in the fourth round, Kadeem Carey, to shoulder some of that load. Forte has impressed me more and more. He's sort of conjuring up images of old Marshall Faulk,
yeah,
the way Mike Martz used him. He's the goods. He really is.
I think that's a great comparison. In fact, just trying to remember, the Marshall Faulk that we saw so prevalent in the late 1900s and early 2000s, exactly, and the one that the Patriots saw in that Super Bowl as well, Forte does remind quite a bit of that. Now, the two guys that certainly complement him well on the outside, in receivers, and Jeffrey and Marshall, physically imposing. The Patriots might be one of the few teams that might be able to man up and defend these guys if, of course, given the opportunity. But before I go any further, what was to be made out of that locker room shouting, yelling match that Brandon Marshall was a part of after the game last week?
Well, somebody should tell the equipment guy to close the door. This happens, we're always looking for a story. I hate to say it that way as a media guy, but, you couldn't avoid it, so it became a story, and then the whole question of leadership and, this is a 17-week season, and you got to come up with a storyline or 12 every week. So
sure,
that kind of took on a life. Well, not kind of. It took on a huge life of its own, which always happens. You guys know it. They're 3-4. That's when these things happen.
Mm-hmm.
They never happen when you're 5-2. And the Bears are just getting really frustrated. And to get back to your point about the Patriots man up, this kind of thing.
Sure.
Part of the frustration has been with the Bears have seen more zone coverage, and they admit that it's been taxing their patience. This is not a team that wants to be patient. Jay Cutler doesn't do patient very well. And so I think the frustration has built in the games, in the what they have to put up. I mean, last week, the booing by the fans at halftime just really set these guys off. Like, hey, we're busting our butts here. Come on, stop it.
Right.
Yeah, it was a bit of a bad week, and I think their frustration is really causing some fraying. And I really think that, more than anything specific with Brandon Marshall, that's really the message here. This team is starting to fray a bit and needs a win badly.
Well, that is certainly an interesting take. Might they be licking their chops if they saw the Patriots come out in a little press man?
They might, although I'm not sure whether this team has earned the right to lick chops. They haven't even earned the right to bust chops except their own. They would. I mean, that's the thing. You mentioned Jeffrey Marshall, and I would also throw in Martellus Bennett. I mean, these guys, Jeffrey 6'3", Marshall 6'4", 230, Bennett 6'6", about 260, and a former basketball player. These guys are open by definition when they break the huddle.
Yep.
So they're hard to take on because they are so big physically, and they all have really, really good hands. I mean, Jeffrey, when you watch him, have a little inside thing, watch the way he uses his body. This was a four-time state champion, two-guard power, blanking on the three.
Yeah, wing.
State
wing
champion
player.
Basketball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wing in South Carolina. He catches passes like a rebounder. I mean, he did it from the moment he got here. He just knows how to use his body, which really makes it hard to man up against him because he knows how to screen off. He's physical without being a brute. And Marshall at 6'4", 230, you people just bounce off of him.
Yeah, then I got to tell you, there are a lot of weapons on that Chicago offense, and mm-hmm. I'm not so sure
Absolutely.
That the Patriots fans realize what kind of weapons they can bring. Let's flip it to the other side, because I know you've had some injuries on the defense as well. What are the latest with Lance Briggs and I guess Jonathan Bostic missed the last couple of games? I know Chris Conte's had a concussion injury. Kyle Fuller, hip injury, I think. So they've been banged up on that side of the ball.
They have, which is funny, because after last year, you thought, well, people were sticking pins in bear dolls somewhere, making everything get broken last year, but it's kind of resurged. This has come up again. Fuller practiced, it actually, the hip was what took him out, but he also broke a hand. He fractured his hand, non-surgical, so he's actually, he was back at full practice today. I think it's obviously not going to help his interception potential, but he's going to be a big surprise if he doesn't play, and he is by far he's the heir apparent and worthy of it, of Charles Tillman.
Mm-hmm.
defensive line. The thing is, the defensive line has stayed healthy, which last year that was unhealthy, and that just everything unraveled. So that's why this year, even with all the injuries at linebacker, and Briggs went through, he was limited today, but he did some things. Bostic has kind of this mysterious back thing, and I think it's more than spasms. He was out there today, but he really was limited to just some individual stuff. That said, they had such a good game in Atlanta with three guys, Daryl Sharpton, Kasim Green, and Christian Jones. There's a trio, isn't it? Heard of any of them?
No.
So as long as things are healthy up front and they're getting in the face of a quarterback the way they did with Matt Ryan, that covers up a multitude of problems at the back end.
Sure does. Has Jared Allen been a disappointment this year?
Yes and no. It has been because you expect so much out of him.
Yeah.
But he had 10 tackles in the San Francisco game. What's happened is teams have run more to the Bears' right, or they've just, I'm not sure whether it's coincidence or whatever, but more read option has gone his direction, and he's played the run. He's a pass rusher, but he's really focused on playing the run more physically, not losing contain, and that's probably hurt his rush total. Plus, he had pneumonia. So I think the only way we can talk to him, like maybe a detail of the offensive tackle needs to go out in a hazmat suit when they play against him. But he's been sick and been coming back. But there's a good mesh with Willie Young. I think Willie Young with 7 sacks has been what they really thought Jared Allen might be. So they're really the net, the overall, or should say the gross, has been what they wanted out of those guys.
Right. How desperate, then, John, is this team to get a win, knowing that, hey, you got a week off next week, you're back to divisional game against Green Bay the following week, you can't let Green Bay or Detroit really disappear from you at this stage of the season.
Mm-hmm.
How much do they really put on this game getting them back on track, or do they?
Well, it's, NFL guys, as you know, well, every game, there's a 16 one-game seasons, to use Mark Trestman's perspective here. It is desperate because they're already, I think, an afterthought in any. If they don't win the division, they're not winning the wild card.
Right.
Between Arizona, Seattle, San Francisco, who knows if New Orleans gets the stuff together, and you got Dallas and Philadelphia. If one of them slumps a little bit, they'll still be way ahead of the Bears. So the desperation is you're not making the playoffs unless you win this division. And that said, the funny part was people thought, well, the first half of the season, boy, it's going to be awful. But thank goodness the second half. Well, that's at Green Bay. 2 games with Detroit and Dallas. How's that sound right now? Not so good.
Right.
So this is a desperate situation. They cannot go into this break at 3-5. There's just going to be too much. It'll be too much to overcome. Too many teams they have to climb over.
Yeah, that's good stuff. John, thanks for spending the time with us today. Greatly appreciated, and best of luck the rest of the way.
Okay, talk soon, guys.
You got it. John Mullen, Comcast Sportsnet Chicago, covering the Chicago Bears. Some really good insight. Really good insight on the Bears right there. Still trying to track down Mark Potash. If we can get him on before the end of the show, we'll do that. If not, at least you get a little bit of a taste of what the Bears are all about. I happen to think they're going to play with a real edge that maybe the Patriots and Pats fans aren't expecting. I'm more than a little concerned. Felix from Hamburg, Germany writes in, John, you talked about it briefly. The front office is asking Brady, what would you prefer about some possible trades? I'm 100% sure they are. Remember when they traded for Blunt, Bill openly said in the press conference he asked Tlaib about his opinion on Blunt. So why wouldn't he ask Brady about his input then? He's an instant slam dunk Hall of Fame quarterback. His opinion surely is valuable. You know how Bill feels about value. So on to Chicago. I think the key against the Bears is special teams. Sounds crazy. I know it's often overlooked, but we have one of, if not the best special teams unit in the NFL. Slater and Don Jones are gunners. When it comes to a close game, they'll make the difference. He says, great show and go Pats, even though he didn't give us a score there, Felix. But that's okay. We'll take it anyway. All right, Mark Potash, Chicago Sun-Times, joined us in the playbook. Mark, thanks for allowing us to track you down, and appreciate a couple of minutes of time here today on a busy day for you.
Oh, no problem. Glad to do it.
Well, let's then, a couple of questions that we've been kind of trying to wonder over here about the Chicago team. How in the heck, in your estimation, are they so good on the road, so competitive on the road, and they've just thrown up stinkers at home? Has there been something you've been able to put your finger on just yet?
No, actually, there really hasn't been. There's no really rhyme or reason. Can't really find a thread to that. just, you know, it's, whenever that happens, often it's just sometimes teams are just more distracted at home and they just concentrate better and their focus is better on the road. I think that's the only thing it can be, because this team is, you know, one of the most herky-jerky teams in the NFL for a really talented team. And when teams like that play like the Bears, it's usually a matter of focus. And that's why they have no interception, I mean, no turnovers in some games and two and three in others. And so as far as the road and home, I just think when they're on the road, the only thing I can think of is that they just have a certain kind of focus and just a better mentality on the road.
That could come from some of those talented players you're talking about. I mean, I look at this, the Bears defense, I'm like going, how is Jared Allen and Lamar Houston at end, and you got a Kyle Fuller and a Lance Briggs back there in the back seven. How does a team like that give up the kind of yardage they have? And I know they've been hurt. Is there anything else that you can add to that?
Well, no. Actually, their defense has been improved from last year. If there's been one problem area, they just have been incapable, I guess, of stopping zone read, which I don't think is going to be a problem this week.
It won't
but,
be,
you
no.
know, Ryan Tannehill is a quarterback who really can't hurt you if you play the run well and you play the zone read. And the Bears, just no matter how much they prepared for it, just you know, could not stop it. And it led to a huge gashing in the run game, and that's why they made Ryan Tannehill look like a Pro Bowl quarterback. You know, the challenge this week is much, actually not easier, but it's just much more basic. It's just basic fundamentals and being, as they say, sound and solid. And you know, they feel like if their defensive line can win the battle, as they did against Atlanta, and that was a much lesser offensive line than the Patriots have, if they can do that, then they can. I think they can make some hay against Tom Brady. But, you know, as you guys well know, that's a huge if.
Yeah, but I think that there's opportunity here. And let me just one of the key things that we've been kind of looking at here is because the Patriots need to do a better job of time of possession. You know, they almost, even though they ran the ball up and down the field on the Jets, they only held on to the ball for 20 minutes and nearly lost the game 10 days ago. With a guy like Matt Forte running the football, if the Patriots come out and maybe show some man and are willing to man up a little bit defensively, considering the corners they have against, you know, receivers like Jennings and Jeffrey, will it be tough, you think, for Chicago to maybe pull the reins back a little bit and say, hey, look, you know, we know the Patriots are also vulnerable up the middle, and I would think Forte would be the guy you'd want to attack that middle with.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point. It's going to be a huge coaching task for the Bears against a Bill Belichick defense, because what they need to do, and they found that out last week against Miami, is they need to establish the run. You know, counting on Jay Cutler to be perfect, as he's had to be, is just not going to work. And so they found out last week when they, in the second half, they ran Matt Forte. I think he had eight touches on the first possession of the first half, and they scored a touchdown. After he only had two carries in the first half, they realized that they kind of have to revolve their offense around Matt Forte. But that's a lot easier said than done. You can't just say you're going to run against a Bill Belichick defense and then just do it. So it's going to be real interesting if they can find a way to do it and then get those kind of one-on-one matchups with the quarterbacks, they can really take advantage, because teams have been zoning Jay Cutler to death this year, and I think that's been a big reason why there's been this why the offense has not been as good as it's been in the past.
Well, the Patriots started out this year in the zone, and people got upset with the fact that they weren't allowing a guy like Darrell Revis to be Darrell Revis, and so they've gotten away with that from that, especially over the last three games, and of course the results have turned out to be wins for New England. So I think there's a lot of intrigue that we'll find out about very early in the game on Sunday. It really interests me to see how the Patriots come out and play Jay Cutler and that Chicago offense, how they come out on defense.
Well, from what I know about Bill Belichick, he'll find the right defense. He'll know exactly how to do it. He's great at scouting. He's had 10 days now to look at the Bears. That's very daunting for the Bears, I think. But on the other hand, Mark Trestman also is a pretty good offensive coordinator, and it's going to be a great chess match to see exactly how they do it. I think the Bears learned a little something, that they have to react a lot more quickly than they did last week as far as to what the other team is doing, especially when you're facing a Bill Belichick defense. You know you have to be on your game. And maybe that in itself is an issue, because you know when you're, it's like going up against a great player, when you're going up against a guy like Bill Belichick, you know you've got to be on your game. So I actually expect the Bears to be better offensively than they've been in this game, because they have the weapons, and they have weapons that can cause even a Bill Belichick defense problems.
That's exactly what perhaps should worry Patriots fans. Mark Potash, Chicago Sun-Times. Mark, thanks for a little time today. Safe travels coming this way.
Well, thanks a lot. I'm looking forward to coming to Boston. It's a great town.
We'll save some clam chowder for you.
That sounds good to me.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
Sure thing.
You bet. Mark Potash, again, covers the Bears for the Chicago Sun-Times with us in the playbook. All right. You know, I wanted to just expand a little bit on some of the things that we touched about with John Mullen from Comcast Sportsnet and to get a sense for why and how. And I think, to me, that right now the intrigue surrounding the game Sunday afternoon is how the Patriots are going to defend a Chicago offense that can attack you from so many different ways. They can move the ball.
After listening to Mullen, I'm terrified.
I got to tell you.
The way he said how he described them as backed into a corner and they can't go into this next back stretch of the season 3-5.
I know.
There's a team with, you know, nobody everything here to lose and is going to come
nobody here is paying attention to that, Kev.
Yeah, they're going to throw the kitchen sink at us, I think.
I totally agree with that. I think they're going to come out, you know, I think they're certainly going to use Forte. And I think the Patriots will be ready. I'd be surprised if they got gouged quite as badly as Chris Ivory and Chris Johnson did 10 days ago.
The only thing worse
but they're going
than
to use that to set up those big receivers.
Yeah, the only thing worse than playing a team that feels like sort of nothing to lose, backed into a corner, back to the wall, is playing a team with a ton of talent. That's backed into a corner.
And here's the other thing. If Martellus Bennett is healthy enough to play, and I guess there's some question as to whether or not, you know, he may or may not, but I know he's been practicing. So the matchup here might be a guy like Pat Chung on Martellus Bennett. Because Chung's the physical guy, the safety that can come in and perhaps, you know, come in and help out a little bit there. That might be the Bears' key to attacking the middle a little bit differently and see if they can't find that soft underbelly a little bit. That's what worries me the absolute most. In that regard, you know, we'll finish up here with some predictions for the last 5 minutes before we get to the
fantasy
football.
I don't
guys.
Feel better about this after those two guests we just had.
I don't at all. If anything, I actually feel worse about it. Nathan on Facebook says 34-27 New England. Mary Beth on Facebook says 21-17 Pats. Kareem on Facebook, my prediction is 34-23 Pats. So we've had a bunch right there. I think I've got a couple of others here that I want to share if I can get the page to reload. Nori says Pats 38, Chicago 21. Okay. A couple of others here. Twitter, at JR Broadcast. And again, if you're listening to this on the podcast, Twitter is the best way to get us your score prediction that we will see before the game. Jose says New England 35, Chicago 30. You know, I like the closeness. I'm not sure both teams score quite that much. But I'd be willing to say it probably goes that way before, you know, staying low scoring. Lyle says 34-17. Patriots. That's what he's predicting. 34-17 Patriots. And I think I got that one in, but Kev says 31-17 Patriots. I've decided that I'm definitely the spread of six. I'm gonna take the points. I'm not confident enough that the Patriots defense is going to be able to, you know, hold Chicago on offense as much as we all think that they may. Chicago's offense is eminently capable. I do think the Patriots will manage a turnover or two, but I'm not so sure it'll be a death knell because I think Chicago's supremely talented in offense, and I think they're definitely going to look at time of possession and keeping the ball out of Brady and the offense's hands. That's exactly what New York did. It worked to perfection. And I don't think the Patriots have the running game overall right now to be able to reverse that. Brady talked about that after the game, immediately after the Jets game was over. I'm not so sure that that's really ready to go. And maybe that is an area that needs to be addressed here in the next couple of weeks. I'm going with New England 27, Chicago 23. It's going to be real close. And I wouldn't be at all surprised, again, just like last week, to see the Bears have the football in the last possession. And the only saving grace will be that, you know, a three-pointer won't get them anything, just like it almost did for Nick Folk and the Jets 10 days ago. I'll go 27-23. Steve and Colleen says, this game is all about the Pats being in their house and getting a serious case of nasty. He says, Pats 32, Bears 18. Gabe, Pats 27, Bears 17. That's acceptable, is what he says. That's acceptable. Jeff says, from California, says, John, sorry, I got to be honest. I see this one being a smoke job. Pats were tired against the Jets, have had plenty of rest with 10 days off. He says, I see the Pats D turning over Cutler 41-20. Drew and Bowie, Brady, with over 300 yards, leads Pats 37-27, setting him up to surpass Elway's all-time passing mark next week against the Broncos. He needs 626 entering this week to pass Elway. Won't happen against the Bears, but I see your point. Rick in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm lost. I really am. Patriots statistically have the best passing defense in the league, and the team is 5-2 in first place. I know they're holes, but what team can't say that? Well, one can, but their quarterback chokes in the postseason. Are we really that ridiculous that we can't appreciate the positives? People, we've seen this every year. We're under-talented, but because we have the best coach on any level, we make up for that. Please remember past teams, trust in Bill. But Rick doesn't give us a score. Gustavo. I'm feeling good about this game. Browner's going to stand out. Brady's going to pick apart the defense, and Amendola will contribute. 31-17, Patriots. Herman, 42-17, Patriots. Whoa. Marcus, 35-21, Patriots. The more I'm worried about this game being close, the more everybody jumps on the Patriot bandwagon and goes the other way with it. Goodness gracious, people. That would make me very happy. I'd love to see it because it puts the Patriots in great shape going into the Denver game.
Yeah, if they blow the Bears out, color me impressed on Sunday.
Absolutely. I'm right there with you. I'd be happy to do a mea culpa next Tuesday. That could be the first nitpick for everybody on next Tuesday's show. Mea culpa, mea maxima culpa. Right? Because, boy, you're going to be feeling a heck of a lot better about going into Denver, and everybody's going to be full of juice and pumped and ready to go. And, oh, my goodness, geeked, stoked. I hope it happens. Just not entirely certain that it's going to. Andy in Vermont, you get the final word in the playbook. Hey, Andy.
Hey, thanks for having me on again.
Yes, sir.
With the offensive threats the Bears have, Bennett, tight end, Jeffries, Marshall, Forte, I see Forte having a couple touchdowns and the wideouts having a touchdown at least apiece and tight end having one in the end zone. So I think the score has got to be in the 30s for both teams, home advantage Patriots. It's in a rainy weather. I think it's still going to be a little bit wet on Sunday. So I'm going to say it's going to be close, and I wouldn't wish – the Bears on anybody, but if the Patriots are going to win, it's going to be within a field goal. So I'm going to say 38-35.
Ooh, all right. You're going to go close with it. 38-35 is Andy's pick. Good stuff, Andy. Thank you, sir. Patriots, of course, have a 12-game winning streak against teams in the NFC North Division. Since realignment in 2002, the only loss against the current NFC North was back in 2002. They lost 28-10 here to Green Bay. And that was their very first game against in the reconfigured AFC East division and their first game facing someone in the AFC North. Since then, they've won 12 straight. Patriots extended that 12-game win streak against the NFC North with that 30-7 win at Minnesota. Pats were 4-0 against North teams in 2010. And again in 2006, and won their final three in 2002 after that loss to Green Bay. So 12 in a row against NFC North teams overall with the Bears in here on Sunday. 1 o'clock Eastern Time, kickoff at Gillette. Fantasy football champs coming up next here on Patriots.com Radio. We will have, of course, Nitpick Tuesday. Same Pats time, same Pats channel next Tuesday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Don't miss it. Enjoy the weekend.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.